going to say this as straight as I possibly can. I am begging you, if you're a parent and you've got kids there, that this subject is just too upsetting for your young children. Please get them out of the room or change the station. We urge you to exercise parental discretion.
Hey, Uncle, how much you give me for this radio, huh? Now, this hot little old radio, man, is worth plenty of rubles, man. It's got lots of juice. You got shortwave, police call, boats. Late at night, man, you get out of space. Come on, Uncle, just make me an offer. Now, this is a $100 radio, man. It's got a clear tone. Boy, that's clear as a mother's old bell. Let me see. Come on, baby. Show the man your power, baby. Blast him! Give him some of that tone! Oh, man. You radio, you mother!
Hey, Jim, what about TV? You like TV?
What?
New thing, Jim. The television. Oh, pictures.
Yeah.
No pictures.
Why not?
Everything these days is pictures. Pictures and a lot of noise. Nobody even knows how to talk. Just grunt at each other.
Babies that were sacrificed for Satan.
I will probably have nightmares tonight about it.
From the nightmares, to the running around the room when they disclose, to the latching on, to the crying and saying, Mommy, 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 don't go out, because if you go out, they're going to kill you. Threats, intimidation, fear.
Now, if you're going to stay cool, you got to wail. You got to put something down. You got to make some jive. Don't you know what I'm talking about?
Well, that's all I'm saying.
You're a bad man. You're a very bad man.
Rejection of parental values. Unusual interest in books on Satanism, black magic, or witchcraft. Obsession with rock music groups using satanic symbols or references. Rejection of friends. Preference for being alone. Meditation, chanting, use of new vocabulary.
Is it the force of evil? Does it disrupt? Is it a force for everything negative?
There's two kind of laws, honey. One for the rich, and one for the poor.
He sees all and knows all. He's wise. He's kind. He is fair. He loves truth and goodness.
Listen, you screwheads. Here is a man who would not take it anymore. A man who stood up against the scum, the dogs, the filth. Here is someone who stood up.
Hey, buddy. This is the state of New Jersey, and I don't care who you are.
Hi, you're listening to WFMU Uppsala College East Orange. This is Aerial View, the original phone-in program on this station, inviting you, the listener, to call us at 201-678-7743 and discuss whatever it is you'd like. The phone lines will be open shortly. We'll start out in just a little bit with some sports talk.
Now I see it clearly. My whole life is pointed in one direction. I see that now. There never has been any choice for me.
You know, it's not often I go to professional sporting events. I've been to maybe four in my lifetime. Number four was Tuesday evening. I was at work and someone came up to me and said, Chris, do you like ice hockey? And I said, gee, I've never really seen ice hockey, except on TV, of course. And this coworker went on to explain that he had a pair of tickets to the New Jersey Devils season opener versus the New York Islanders, and would I like the tickets because he was sick and couldn't go. And I said, wow, well, sure. That might be kind of a gas to see a hockey game. Now, these were very good seats. They were right on the ice, about 2 feet away from the plexiglass panels that keep the pucks from soaring into the stands and inflicting brain damage on unsuspecting patrons of the game. So I call up my friend Jeff and I says, hey, we're going to a hockey game. And we did. We went to see the Devils and the Islanders Tuesday night. Now, aside from the fact that it was opening night and the place was only three quarters full, I was really amazed at the cross-section of white suburban types you'll find at a hockey game. Why, they ran the gamut from A to B. They were so excited. The Devils have new jersey colors this year. They got rid of the green highlights that made them look, as one fan mentioned, like Christmas trees. And now they're shooting for that red and black sort of very marketable look. So there was a lot of excitement in the air. New jerseys, a new season in New Jersey. We missed the first period. We got there for the second and third period, right? So the second and third period were quite exciting, I have to say. It was really great being that close to the action and seeing guys press other guys' faces up against plexiglass and try to make them say uncle, all in pursuit of this little round disc. But what was even more exciting was the talk in the stands. The guy behind me who kept saying, "Get it out of there! Get it out of there! Hey! Get it out of there!" Over and over and over again, he said this. This happened every time the puck found its way to within, 30 or 40 feet of the Devil's goal. The object in hockey, for those of you who are completely unaware, is to slide the puck into the opponent's goal as often as possible. The team that slides the puck into the opponent's goal more times than the other team wins the game. It's that easy. So every time the puck would appear, this guy behind me would start shouting, "Get it out of there! Get it out of there!" Stating the perfectly obvious that yes, indeed, someone should try to get it out of there. There were also guys in the stands who took to task the referee, someone named Stewart. Now, you know his name is Stewart because his name is on his back, which I think is a bad idea. If you're going to referee a professional sporting event, it may be best to remain anonymous and not have your name on your back. So this guy, who's highly visible because he's wearing a black and white striped uniform and bright orange armbands, and he's not carrying a stick or anything, and his name is on his back, was being ridiculed throughout this whole game just because he was standing there. They kept yelling, "Hey, Stewart, didn't you wear glasses last year?" And things like that. And chuckling to themselves. This to me was so interesting because you don't hear this stuff when you're watching a sporting event on TV. This is the stuff you miss. The stuff that's going on in the stands. The fans of professional sports. The people who allow professional sports to exist. If it weren't for fans, there'd be no reason for doing all this. People wouldn't meet in private and have a hockey game. This is not Bobby Fischer and Spassky playing chess. They can't go off somewhere alone and play hockey. It's just not done. You need people there to witness it, to say, "Yes, I was there. And I was there. I was there in the stands at this hockey event where the Islanders lost." They made a very valiant effort. I mean, they came back from like 3-0 to finish the game at 3-4, which is still losing, right? But they lost by one puck across the goal. If they had slid it one more time, it would have been tied, but they didn't. And what do you think these Islanders, these brave men in blue, were met with when they walked off the ice? They were met with the most amazing variety of catcalls and verbal abuse and curses, just the most disgusting things you could say to another human being, by these hockey fans who chose to lean over the railing just over the exit where the Islanders were walking off the ice. And some of these hockey fans, what was really amazing about this, had children with them, had little boys, 6, 7, 8 years old, and they're yelling things at these guys about their sexual preferences, about what they do with their mothers, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, if I was some 6'5" hockey player who was missing most of my teeth, and I had this essentially a weapon in my hands, if I had this big stick of wood in my hands, I'd be whapping these guys on the head. I wouldn't be entertaining this stuff. I felt like leaning over and saying, hey, listen, that was a nice game. That was very exciting. You guys really, you rallied there. You almost did it. That was great. Look forward to playing you again, boy. What a worthy opponent. Isn't it great that you can go and see a game where there's a worthy opponent? When, I mean, what if it was 4-0? What if the Islanders walked off the ice and they hadn't scored anything? I mean, would these guys still be yelling at them about what a bunch of losers they are? Was it because they only lost by 1 point? So up till then, it was a pleasant enough experience. I mean, we sat in the stands and we had our 12-ounce cups of beer for $3.90, and we sort of watched what was going on in the stands, including whole sections of people who obviously grew up with each other, who carried on the most intimate conversations while a few feet away, guys were being body checked viciously. That was the most interesting sight. Some guy was talking to some other guy about his girlfriend. You know, about her, what she preferred in bed. And right in front of this guy, men are being shoved to the ice and being hit with sticks of hickory. It was really amazing. Anyway, the number here is 201-678-7743. I'm inviting all of you Devils fans and professional sports fans to call me and tell me what it is about being a sports fan that makes you rise above, that makes you better, that enriches your life, that allows you to go on living. And tell me about the way you feel when your team wins, why it makes you feel that way. I want to know, because I've never had a sports team of my own. I've never had a professional sports affiliation. I've never been able to say, yes, 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 that is my team. And I wear their colors proudly, and I'm glad when they win. And I'm sad for them when they lose, and I wish they'd get rid of that bum so-and-so. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay.
I'm a baseball fan.
Okay, what team?
I used to follow the Mets. Now I watch.
Wait a
the
minute,
Orioles.
You'll recognize this sound. Then again, maybe you won't.
Oops, missed it.
No, this sound. You know the what we're playing in the background.
Oh, I'm not hearing it on the phone, and I don't have my radio on. Oh, okay, there you go. Yeah. I hate that stuff.
Now, isn't that great that you can go to a hockey game and every time a goal is scored, they play a song by some obscure English glam rock star? Not really that obscure. Gary Glitter is not that obscure.
No.
Okay.
And he's rather large, too.
Where?
Around the waist.
Oh, yeah. Gary Glitter. Okay. Or Queen. Or you could hear Queen. You could hear We Will Rock You.
Yeah. I'm not really interested in that stuff. But, one thing I like is after work to drive out to the ballpark or take the subway or whatever, and just get away from everything and
go see the Mets lose.
Huh?
And go see the Mets lose?
No, I stopped doing that a while ago. Uh-huh. Now what I do is I get in the car and drive about 3 hours out to the sticks and see a minor league game.
Like where?
Oh, Reading, Pennsylvania. I drove down to Hagerstown, Maryland. That's more than 3 hours.
You'd have to tell me because I don't know whose farm teams play in those places.
Reading Phillies, okay. Albany Yankees, Pittsfield Mets. Pittsfield is very nice.
Pittsfield, Mass?
Yeah.
Uh-huh, I've been
in
Pittsfield.
The Berkshires, very nice up there, and yeah. They have an old park there. They have to put a screen up because the sun sets the wrong way at night.
Now, why is it that you would, travel 3 hours to go see a farm team instead of watch, the local major league team play?
Oh, because they're not very good anymore, and
And this way you get to see the up-and-coming talent, or what?
Not just that. It's, you know, it's really relaxing. I mean,
it's like the old times.
The events are really a bit intimidating. And, you know, it's kind of hard work. Mm. Whereas you pull up to a place that's more like the size of a high school field, you know?
And
walk right up, you can get a ticket, you know, a good seat. And the food is usually better.
What are they charging for a hot dog?
Oh, it's cheaper, too. And you don't have to just get hot dogs. They have barbecue meat. And they usually have a grill going with burgers and stuff. You can get burgers at Shea.
Almost makes me want to go to Pittsfield.
Yeah, Pittsfield is really worth the trip. It's an old park, like an old wooden grandstand. Most of them today are becoming a lot more modernized.
How do you feel about the expansion teams this year, about the Colorado Rockies?
I think it's pretty funny. Uh-huh. You know, they want to make some more money. And
there's expansion teams in just about every sport this year, aren't there? There's expansion hockey teams and baseball teams.
Hockey's been getting bigger.
But, you know, as a male, I feel really at a loss when it comes to discussing sports with other men because I'm not up on it. I really don't know. Do you feel like you can discuss sports with any guy? That you can, you know, you pretty much know what's going on in the world of sports.
Yeah, I can pretend that I know about hockey and stuff. Mostly it's baseball. And to tell you the truth, right now...
Are you a stats fan?
No, I hate that stuff. It's terrible. I just like to see... Well, I actually keep score during a game.
Uh-huh.
That kind of helps me pay attention.
Yeah.
And it keeps me from drinking too many beers. Because you get to the end there, when the pitchers are coming in and they're pinch hitters, you know, stepping up, and you totally lose track, you know, if you're drunk. And
this
then
is
you've
true.
Wasted the whole effort of trying to keep score in the first place because you're no longer keeping track of what's going on.
Now, is the high price they charge for beer at most major sporting events a way to discourage you from drinking at those sporting events? Or what's
no way. No way.
I mean, why are they charging $3.90 for a beer?
Well, I'll tell you one thing, it's a lot of money for the beer and everything.
And this is not a beer that a guy carries to your
seat.
No, it's
horrible.
This is a beer that you get up and
you
go wait on line for.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's
a little cheaper if you walk down there. See, you pay more to have the guy come to you.
I can't believe that. So it would have been $4 if we sat in our seats and waited for a 12-ounce?
No, it's just you get less beer for the money.
Yeah.
He'll give you like a 16-ounce can. You know.
Next time
I'm
smuggling my own beer in.
No, it's not even worth it. Mixed drinks are better. Take like binoculars cases.
Oh yeah, those binoculars
that
are
like
actually
a flask down in them.
Yeah.
Or bring a girl and have her bring a thermos.
In a bra.
No. She doesn't have to do that. No. It's just if it's a girl and she has a thermos,
uh-huh.
to go you know, iced tea or coffee or something, you know.
What if it's your old grandma? Can you sneak your old grandma in with a thermos?
Oh God, yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, thanks for those tips from a sports fan who's actually traveled to see farm teams play. That's very dedicated of you.
Well,
I must
it's,
say.
It's just you know, sometimes a man's gotta go out of his way to relax nowadays. You know?
Go out of his way to relax. You're
and,
right.
And you know, once you've actually driven the 3 hours and you're sitting there, I mean, you know that you've definitely gotten away from it all for the time being.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it's a pretty good feeling.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Okay, the number here is 201-678-7743. Hello, welcome to the air.
Yeah, I'm not really a big sports fan, but I love the New York Knicks.
New York Knicks, huh?
Yeah, and I have season tickets, and I'm really excited. But,
where are you calling from?
Where am I calling from?
Yeah, there's like this buzzing.
Oh, yeah, I know.
What is that?
Livingston.
Oh, okay.
Oh, but I really love the New York Knicks, and
I can't stand the buzz, though. You call back. Hello, welcome to the air.
Chris?
Yeah?
Did you grow up in the New York area?
Yes, I did.
So, how old are you?
I'm 30.
So, like, you didn't love Joe Namath and Tom Seaver as a child?
No. I loved Evel Knievel.
What about Joe Namath and Tom Seaver as an alternative? You know, I loved the Beatles, and I loved Evel Knievel, but what about... local.
I loved James...
What about Willis Reed?
No, I loved James Bond and Evel Knievel, and what else did I love?
Well, this is the problem. I think you just... Why did you close off that whole
Well,
avenue?
Because my parents were divorced when I was 13. My dad was living elsewhere. And I think young males get their love for sports from their fathers, largely.
That promotes it. My father was a crazy sports fan, but it just seems like, what about playing stickball and touch football out in the street and all that kind of stuff?
No, I didn't do that. I really didn't. I know where you're coming from, and I feel deprived because I didn't have that kind of sports thing in my life when I was young, but I just didn't.
Well,
I mean, the furthest it went was my father one time met Joe Namath and Emerson Boozer at a charity event of some kind. He brought back an autographed football. You know, they had these little Go Jets Go, little white footballs that they had signed with green flare pens, so by the time I had gotten them, the signatures were smeared. You can't hear me because you're on a cellular phone.
I hear everything you're saying. At this point in your adulthood, you need that aspect to be very well-rounded. Like at a cocktail party, like even if you have some cocktail-level party sports talk, can you hang in on that conversation?
I can. And, you know, last year I won the football pool where I work. I won the bonus for the year, which was given out if you had won more football pools all year than anybody else. So.
Well, that's all that really matters, as long as you can hang in, like, at a party, because...
Well, let me tell you how I did it. You know, everyone was saying, what's your system, Chris? Because week after week after week, I would win the football pool. And finally, I had to reveal to them that I was just picking the team from the city with the higher crime rate.
Well...
And they usually would win the game. Not every time, not 100%.
So if we were at, like,
usually,
a party tomorrow night, and I said to you, what do you think of Ray Hanley and the Giants, you'd be able to come back with something?
I would say, who's got the higher crime rate? Probably Detroit at this point, right? Is Detroit still murder capital?
Detroit is like number one, the worst of all time.
Is it past New York?
Oh, by far.
Okay, so the Lions are playing the Giants.
Right.
I'd have to go with the Lions, even though I'm a Giants fan. My system would say pick the Lions.
Well,
I didn't lose any money betting on the Lions last year, I'll tell you that much.
Well, all I know is the important thing is that as a child, the genesis doesn't seem to have been planted in you for whatever reason.
That's right, because my dad was largely absent, and both of my grandfathers were dead before I was born. So, I had no male figure in my life saying, hey, let's go see a blankety-blank game.
So what I would do if I were you just to play some catch-up is just glance at the sports pages, you know, just get a
rough
idea.
It seems to me like a huge waste of time to be a spectator of something that somebody else is doing. Though, you know what I mean?
Well, it's no different than any all the other entertainments that you love, rock music, but
yeah, but I play the guitar and I'm involved in rock music. I play rock music, so
yeah,
I could
but,
say.
But your level of it is basically as a observer, not as a participant.
Not really, no. I'm in a band and we gig and, you know, so I participate.
Well,
and I enjoy and partake.
Well, I love rock and roll as much as everything, but I think I'm at a much higher level of conversation and understanding and just deep love of sports and sports figures. I mean, I can put a guy like Johnny Bench on a plateau with Johnny Rotten.
See, I just don't see what, you know, the lasting accomplishment or the lasting contribution Johnny Unitas has made to life. I understand what he's made, you know, the contribution he's made to your life.
Oh, I figured it out. Because you didn't have it in your childhood, you don't really... Like, when you see current sports, you don't pine for the days when you were younger and, like, playing. And
no, I try not to pine.
I think that's the thing.
Pining is a real, it's a counterproductive activity, along with being nostalgic.
Dwelling in the past, absolutely.
Not dwelling. I mean, you could look back and say, gee, wasn't that great when we, but, I mean, I have very little use for nostalgia or pining. Okay, thanks for calling.
Goodbye.
On your cellular phone there. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hey, Chris, it's just funny because the guy thought like you should catch up on your sports. Like you should really, it's a thing you should know so that you can have better conversations. Or it's funny, man. I'm in the same boat as you are with sports.
Kind of a nerd, sports nerd?
Well, I wouldn't even think that. I mean, I think I might have used to think that when I was younger, but I've totally accepted that. I've never been interested in sports at all. You know, I mean, I played football and it was fun. It's fun to do things like that sometimes, but I've never followed sports. And I don't think it's necessarily because you didn't have a male figure to show you the way in sports, because my father, my older brother, my uncle were very into sports, and I just never caught on. You know, I'd sit and watch the football game and I'd zone out completely.
Yeah.
you know, I went to a couple games with them, and I was just never interested at all, you know.
I know what you mean. It's an investment in time and so on that is really weird.
Yeah, but it wasn't, I don't feel like it was even a choice. It was just something that never caught my interest, you know. I've always been into painting, drawing, music, writing, that kind of stuff. In fact, it was a dinner at my parents' house one time, and there's this guy who was like the husband of a distant aunt or something, and he was sitting next to me, and he you know, he's making conversation, and he says something about the Mets, and I said, well, I don't know, I didn't see, I don't follow the Mets. He goes, oh, you're a Yankees man. I said, no, I don't, I'm really not into sports at all. He goes, I'm into sports? What else is there? You know, it was amazing. So the guy,
he didn't actually say that, did he?
Oh, no, he did. He said, not into sports, what else is there? And I said, I don't know, art, music. He didn't talk to me, not one word for the rest of the dinner. It was amazing.
Well, I mean, guys, guys really need sports to be able to communicate. You can get two guys, I mean, as evidenced by a scene in White Men Can't Jump,
mm-hmm.
I finally caught up with that movie a couple of weeks ago. There's a scene where the two main characters are arguing in Wesley Snipes' house, the character that Wesley Snipes plays,
mm-hmm.
and they're having this vicious argument, and all of a sudden they get caught up in this basketball game that's on TV, and finally they have some place to bond. They have a place
right.
where they can relate. They have a common point
right.
of interest, and that's, you know, a sporting event.
Well, that's a good link up for a lot of friends, a certain kind of person. But, I mean, you must not feel that way with your friends. I mean, they can't all
No,
be...
the common point for me and my friends or people I know or people I don't know, you know, would probably be ice cream. Because I've stated on this program in the past my theory that people can't be angry when they're eating ice cream. And it probably would solve a lot of world's problems if they can just get trucks and trucks full of Ben and Jerry's over to Bosnia or something. Because
you could do that.
Because
yeah.
Ask anybody you know, it's hard to be angry while eating ice cream. Really, think about it. Okay, well, thanks. We got other calls here. Thanks for calling.
All right.
201-678-7743 is the phone number. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, I had a little thing about the sports. First of all, I don't know if you've noticed in the New York metro area that most Jets fans will also be either Devils or Islander fans and Mets fans, whereas most Giant fans would be either Yankee, it will be Yankee fans and Ranger fans. And I don't know, but for some reason the New York media seems to play up the Giants, Yanks, and the Rangers and play down the Jets, Devils, Islanders, and Mets. You'll always see the sports...
I don't think so. I mean, I grew up on Long Island, and the Islanders certainly were never played down.
Well, not so much
papers.
Played down, but you'll see on the sportscast and even in the newspapers how the Giants, you know, during whatever season it is, say, you know, football season, the Giants are first. It says Giants win against or Giants lose against whomever. And
because
then maybe,
the Jets have sucked for years and years and years.
Well, yeah, but, you know, that's it's easy to be a fan when mm-hmm. when your team is...
Hey, who wants to be equated with a loser? I mean, come on, give me a break.
Well, now, I've been a Jets fan since the last year they were at Shea.
My favorite kinds of sports fans are the ones that say, and I'd like them even when they were losing.
Yeah,
those
yeah.
are my favorite kinds of sports fans to show what kind of steadfast, loyal, and true schmucks they are.
Well, look at how many Mets fans there are. I mean, how
I'd rather be hooked up with a winner. Show me the team that's winning.
Yeah, but that's where's the
that's
loyalty
my
in
team.
That? Where's the loyalty in that?
Oh, who cares? It's a global world. You know, it's a global economy. It's a global sports thing. There should be a global sports team that
that's
just
true.
Would crush everybody.
You see, when they have the World Series, it's not the World Series, it's the American Series.
Yeah.
There's no
I like a non-competitive means. Game that, you know, like Earth Ball or whatever that thing is where they just pass that huge ball back and
yeah,
forth.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and just have teams that play that so no one would ever have to lose.
Right. So as of late, though, I've been getting into Australian football.
And I you know what? Another thing I choose a team by is by their mascot and their team colors.
Also,
you gotta have a decent looking graphic, as far as I'm concerned. You know,
yeah.
It's gotta look good on a T-shirt.
That's true.
And the Devils. I mean, what other sports team is there that's associated with like, with Satanism?
Yeah, well, that's also from Jersey Legend, though.
Yeah, I know, but I was thinking when their mascot came out on the ice, which was like a puck,
yeah.
a walking puck,
yeah,
with horns sticking out of it. I was thinking it would have been far more effective if they had like some some grotesque looking demon.
Demon, you know, it's hard to skate in cloven hooves though.
If they had a pentagram like embedded in the ice.
Or in the puck itself.
And before
the
game, they came out and sacrificed a virgin.
Well, perhaps.
And around the edges of the ice, they had like torches. And the whole thing was lit by fire.
Now that would be interesting.
That
would add a whole new dimension to the game.
And they played almost naked. They wore nothing but like a loincloth.
Or a studded G-string or something.
Something like that, yeah. And they were able to kill each other.
Well,
now
that's a little far-fetched.
I wouldn't go that far.
Although you'd probably have outrageous contracts for 5 years and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be something else.
Well, I think we're moving more towards rollerball. Really.
Eventually. I think people would like to see a lot more gratuitous violence in sports.
Yeah, there wasn't really any fights at this hockey game because the NHL has initiated all these new rules supposedly that are trying to cut down on the amount of bodily confrontation that goes on during a hockey game. They're trying to make it more a game of speed and skill.
Yeah, but there's always been players in just about every sport.
Hey, I want brutality. If you can't go to hockey for brutality, where are you going to go? There's no more of that roller rink crap going on. What did they used to call that?
Roller derby.
And I think now's a good time to bring it back with these inline skates. You know, you could you could have rollerblade derby. Right?
Really?
So I want brutality, and if you can't go to a hockey game and see guys bashing each other, where can you go for that?
Yeah. Even in boxing, they've got it down to where it's, you know, now you have the standing eight count, and the referee can stop it without the player, you know, with the player being injured, but not to the point where he's staggering around and he's, you know, the ref says, how many fingers, and the guy says, Thursday.
Uh-huh.
You know, so.
Okay.
So.
Well, listen, this is a great sports discussion we're having.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I listen to your show fastidiously and almost religiously, and this is probably one of the top shows I've heard.
Why, thank you.
Okay.
I'm touched, really. Thanks for calling.
All right, have a good one.
The number here is 201-678-7743. Welcome to the air. It's another cellular phone call, right?
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay.
Comment about the sports here.
Sure.
First, if you've never been a Ranger fan, you've never been a fan at all.
Uh-huh.
And secondly, you comment about the Devils. What kind of mascot is the Devils? How about the Duke Blue Devils, one of the most successful college basketball teams of the decade?
Someone mentioned the Blue Devils to me the other day. It's apparently they're coming under some flack from religious groups or something because why? What's their mascot look like?
It's a devil with blue horns. They're putting up the wins, though. And they're one of the most successful teams in a while.
What kind of devil? Just like your typical sort of cartoon devil?
Sure, devil with a pitchfork.
Wow, excellent. Sort of like the devil on the Underwood ham cans?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but I don't know if sports isn't your thing. It's nothing to worry about. You are missing out, though, but, you know, for each his own.
I never said it wasn't my thing. I'm really selective when it comes to sporting events. I'm really selective. I'll watch a certain number of football games per year, but they have to be teams that I'm, you know, interested in somewhat.
Right, but there's nothing compares to a Ranger game. If you like the Devil game at all, go to the Rangers. You'll definitely learn to like
it. So how does it compare, the Meadowlands to the Garden, for seeing a hockey game?
There is no comparison. The fans are better. It's packed. I mean, they appreciate hockey so much more in the Garden than the...
Are there fights in the stands? If Islanders fans show up, do they get beat up?
There'll be a couple altercations.
Yeah, okay.
But take it easy, man.
Thanks, bye. That's what I don't want. I don't want to be getting beat up in the stands at a hockey event. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Okay.
Let me turn my radio down. Thanks for waiting.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I've never been a sports fan, and I tried when I was a kid. I'd ask for a basketball for Christmas, and I'd be interested in basketball for 3 weeks, and then just, like, forget about it. And it's a tough thing. When you're a kid and you're not into sports, it's very strange.
I know, and it's a way to be instantly ostracized.
Yeah.
It's never mind all the other peer pressure you have when you're growing up, but if you can't play sports, forget it. You might as well be a non-person.
Yeah, I tried to play softball, and I threw like a girl. When I was 20 years old, I played softball with some friends, and suddenly I could throw, I could hit, I could catch it. It was incredible.
Really?
But as a kid, I couldn't do anything. I got into football after school because I was one of the bigger kids, and I could just plow through people, and I did okay.
Well, they made me be center every time we played.
Yeah, well, I couldn't catch, you know, I could never catch the football, forget about it.
Yeah, I would have to serve those absolutely useless functions on whatever team I was on, whether it was...
Goalie in hockey.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was goalie in hockey.
If it involved blocking something, then that was
catcher?
It. Yeah.
Did you catch in baseball?
Yes, I catched in baseball, yeah.
They wouldn't even let me catch. I'd have to be right field because I couldn't even catch.
And they would always make sure there was some guy covering the
the hole.
Covering the game at the plate, you know what I mean? Who's taking care of the anybody who was racing for home, they would come over and usually the pitcher would come over and cover the play.
Right.
Because they knew that I couldn't catch the ball. It was so frustrating.
Now, the stupidest,
and humiliating.
The stupidest sporting event, and you know, I work out here.
Golf?
Out at the U.S. Open, the tennis thing every year.
Uh-huh.
And people show up to the U.S. Open wearing tennis outfits. And I wonder if they have a fantasy saying, Jimmy Connors has twisted his ankle. Can someone who has the right clothing please come down?
So
they wear the correct clothing, and it would be like going to Belmont wearing
dressed as a
saddle.
Yeah, in colors.
No, a saddle. Uh-huh. Those are the athletes.
Hey, have you heard that they've inaugurated thoroughbred racing now at the Meadowlands? They're not doing harness racing anymore.
Really?
Yeah, I heard they've unhooked those little things with the wheels on them.
Wow.
So now you could actually go see an actual horse race at the Meadowlands.
Wow, well, I'd go out there.
Yeah, I'm going to go. I've never seen now horse racing seems to me to be a real cool sporting event.
Yeah, because
you could win money at it, legally. You could bet on it.
And the big events, if you add them all up for the whole year, take 3 minutes.
Right.
You have the Belmont, the Preakness, and the Derby. And they all take a minute. It doesn't take much time. You can, boy, had my sports fix.
And then you could go sip mint juleps in the stands for the rest of the day.
Yeah, talk about it.
Yeah, it's cool.
And you can pick up the Daily News and read 2 pages about the Derby, the day of the Derby, and you are an expert. You know it all. You know, man, this horse, he's a good mutter, and his mutter was a mutter. And, oh, he did good in the Celebrity Stakes in Pimlico last week. He shows a lot of good stuff, and
you know, and those horses have such great names usually too. You know, they got like these really names that you just, I mean, are you know, Devil Spawn and stuff like that. You know, these really cool names.
Yeah, it's the coolest sporting event.
It definitely is. All right, well, listen, we gotta go. We gotta go get this other call. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Chris.
And the number here is 216-787-7743 once again.
Yeah, Chris.
Yeah.
Yes. I was just listening, and now I know why I'm friends with you guys.
Wait a minute. Is this Jim Ryan?
This is.
Jim?
Yeah.
Jim?
Yeah.
On our phone lines now, ladies and gentlemen, is cartoonist Jim Ryan.
That's right.
So why are you friends with us, guys?
Well, because none of you are sports fans either.
And it's not by choice.
No.
I mean, you know.
Well, it is for me.
It's a genetic thing, almost.
In a certain way.
Yeah.
Since I'm sort of a walking billboard for one particular sport.
Uh-huh.
Which I've never had any interest in.
Which, I guess...
we'll have to fill our listeners in.
Yeah, it's basketball.
Basketball, yeah.
See, Jim's tall.
Yeah.
Like what, 6'9" or something? And is always being confused.
Just tall.
Just
tall as anything.
Tall drink of water. And always being confused for famous basketball players.
Well, no, not too many things.
Well, people are always asking you if you play b-ball.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, yeah. And it took a lot of doing, like, to sustain not playing, not being a sports person.
Did you ever walk past the basketball court and think, wow, I bet I could do that real well?
Yeah, I have.
Uh-huh.
I have, but I don't know. I saw my brothers do it, and
so you come from a tall family.
I come from a tall family. Two of my brothers got basketball scholarships to college.
Uh-huh.
And both of them also have, like, tremendous, like, back and knee problems now, too.
Hmm.
And I tell them, I say, well, you know, was that basketball you played? Because it's really not a good sport for tall people.
Why is that? I mean, because...
Because, you know, when you're the taller you are, when you jump up and you come down, you're just inflicting that much more... like pressure per square inch or whatever on all your joints and stuff. And, you know, more can possibly go wrong because there's just more there to go wrong with.
Hmm. And they probably bang their heads too many times on the team bus getting on and off.
We've all banged our heads.
Yeah.
You know, literally and figuratively.
So basketball... It never occurred to you as a career choice, right?
Oh, it's occurred to me. What's more, it's been suggested to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just about every waking hour.
Yeah. I come from a very sports-oriented family, as you probably know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, you know, I've, I do some athletic activity, but that's, you know, but I've never been able to, like, sit through a football game.
What's the last sporting event you did sit through? What's the last thing you, I mean, sat down and watched?
Some of the track and field events at the Olympics, which I know some people find boring as anything, but I like those because it's like, you know, it's individual and it's make or break. And
there's very little chance of getting hurt, though.
Are you kidding me?
Come on. How many times does a track or field guy get hurt? As opposed to, you know, there's a player down on the field, that kind of thing.
Oh, well, yeah. You know, it's nothing's like football or boxing. Actually, I enjoy boxing.
Yeah, boxing's still pretty cool.
You know, because it's nice to watch, you know, people from oppressed minorities, you know, battering each other into submission for the money of wealthy promoters.
Yeah, now that you put it that way.
Yeah.
I never really looked at it in those, you know, socio-political terms, but you're absolutely right.
Yeah. So anyway, just thought I'd call and say that.
Okay, thanks, Jim.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
The number here is 201-678-7743. We're expecting in a few moments, anyway, a phone call from Ted Klein of Crime Beat Magazine, editor of, and to talk about recent crime, violence, and so on in our area and across the world. Some stories that are breaking in Crime Beat. If you haven't read Crime Beat magazine, it's pretty interesting. It's basically the roundup of the more lurid crime tales, done in a real sort of factual way, not done in a shocking expose style like some other magazine, namely True Detective and crap like that. And violence in sports in our society are forever linked. There's a bridge between those two things that you can't deny. I mean, growing up watching sports for young boys is just another way to take a wearing blender to their testosterone and put it on Puree and leave it on for 3 or 4 minutes. You can get everything really good and mixed up there. But, you know, I don't know, even though young men have a lot of forces in their lives that would lead them towards being less tolerant of people who are not exactly like themselves, all of the things that happened to me when I was growing up and all of the influences that I had didn't seem to really have that effect, but the opposite effect. They really led me to want to not have anything to do with guns and with hitting people later on in life. I don't understand that. If you take away the war toys, does that mean that a kid wants them even more when he gets to the age where he can go out and buy them for himself? Or the football, for that matter, or baseball bats. Hello, welcome to the air.
Yeah, I don't think you should use the airwaves to work out your neurosis.
My neurosis? Oh, man, what? You don't even want to discuss this? You just want to make a statement and hang up? My absolute favorite kind of caller. Let's see if we can...
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard that. Why don't you want to discuss this, though?
Huh?
Why don't you want to discuss this? Why do you just call and hang up? I mean, what's... Hello? I'll try it again. Hello?
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up and try again.
Yes,
I
would.
If you need help, hang up and then dial your operator.
Boy, do I need help. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hello, is Chris T there?
This is him. Is this Ted Klein?
You're close.
Who is this?
I'm the managing editor of Crime Beat.
No, I want Ted. Put Ted on the phone.
No, this is Bob Martin.
No, Ted.
You can't talk to Ted.
Bob?
Yeah.
I didn't know you were the managing editor there.
I'm the managing editor.
Bob Martin, how are you?
I'm okay.
This is great. We've talked before on this program.
Yes, we have.
So when did you start with Crime Beat?
I started there this summer.
Excellent.
And I'm taking over.
You're just taking over the magazine from Ted Klein.
Oh, yeah.
Have you been listening?
That's why I wouldn't let Ted call.
You listening to the show today?
We don't have a radio here.
Okay.
We're still struggling.
We're talking about sports and violence.
Sports and violence.
And wondering what's new in Crime Beat magazine. What's happening for
me? Well, you know, I don't know. I don't know if we kicked Mike Tyson around at all this issue. We usually do.
But what is Crime Beat magazine's editorial policy? Managing editor Bob Martin.
We've got to get the editor on. Hold on.
This is great.
The editor will be right with you.
Okay.
He dictates editorial policy. I just wanted to say hi, Chris, and tell you I'm
hi, Mr. Martin.
And here's Ted.
Hey, Ted. I didn't know you had Bob Martin working for you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was, in fact, my dream was originally to do this magazine with Bob, but he was busy for a long time. But he's now with us.
Busy doing what?
Bob, what were you busy doing? I guess he was writing Frankenhooker.
Oh, Frankenhooker, that's right, yeah.
Something more important, he was finding himself.
Oh, did he look in the yellow pages? He probably was listed.
He finally did.
Okay. Mr. Klein, Ted Klein on the crime line, ladies and gentlemen.
The crime line.
I got to come up with some fancy theme music for you now. If we can do this on a regular basis, it would make me so happy to have a regular crime report on my program.
It depends on how nice you are. It
depends on how much crime is there.
There's always lots of crime.
What are you guys working on? What stories are breaking?
We're working on an update right now to a rather gruesome triple killing that happened 3 years ago, but they just down in Florida, where a mother and her two teenage daughters were lured onto a small boat, and where they were raped and thrown overboard and drowned, all three of them. They were vacationing from Ohio, and it seems that just this past week, the police in Florida have got a man, and it seems, in fingerprint evidence, suggests that he's the one who killed them. So we're writing that up.
What happens when you catch somebody 3 years after a crime is committed? I mean, haven't things kind of...
It's rougher. It's much harder to convict him, there's no doubt. Thank God they seem to have, you know, forensic evidence.
Are they bringing into play all of the really high-tech DNA things and stuff like that? Are they going to check his blood and his genetic makeup?
That's a good question. That's a very good... Would you like to be an editor on this magazine?
I want to know if they're going to carbon date this guy. hey, that's, you know...
Better to carbon date him than to date him.
Yeah. So Crime Beat, do you actually go to the scene of crimes? Have you been to any crime scenes lately?
No. It's all that I can do to get out of this office in time to go to the bathroom and grab a sandwich for lunch.
Ted, do you have a favorite kind of crime story?
I have to say that the lurid crimes in which innocent people with whom I can identify are brutally murdered are the kinds of crimes that you know attract me and interest me. I guess they play into my own paranoia.
Do you feel that's true for most people? I mean, are they...
I think so. It's funny because I get a lot of pressure here from the publisher to include more white collar crime and more upbeat, fluffy stuff. But it goes against what I myself am searching for.
You know? I like the kind of crime where people are really ingenious. I like schemes. I like the kind of crime that's fairly involved and not so much smashing someone over the head and taking their money.
Sure, you mean the Professor Moriarty kind of crime?
Crimes that involve a plan.
Well, like the guy who rigged up some kind of poison in a nasal inhaler, you may have heard this,
yeah.
And attempted to kill his wife by offering that to her when she had a stuffy nose.
That sounds pretty stupid to me.
Happened last year, and I wish I could recall the details because we did not run it in Crime Beat, but I don't think it killed her.
Now, how would it kill her if she's got a stuffy nose, first of all? How's she going to get it up into her nostrils?
Maybe he first offered her...
This is a very stupid criminal. No, it's... Here, clear your nose first and then take a shot of this.
Maybe he persuaded her it was a two-part treatment.
Oh, so, like those super glues. 2A
right.
And 2B?
Exactly.
Okay. You have to have a very dumb wife for that, too.
Maybe that's why he wanted to kill her.
Okay. What is coming up in the new issue, which I guess is going to be a November issue? What can we look forward to?
The one that
and
be
sports.
On...
Are you going to work sports into it at all? Since my program today was almost all about sports.
Ted ran his eye quickly over the... it's funny, we are doing a piece coming up on steroids.
Uh-huh.
Which... And there was a huge bust out in the Midwest recently. 37 people busted who worked around some bodybuilding place. What's odd is that some of them were busted for actually selling steroids, and some of them were busted for selling phony steroids. They're both illegal, as you could imagine. They're manufactured, incidentally, in Mexico and sold in the U.S. and Canada, so it's truly international.
Now, a phony steroid, how does that... what does that do to you?
Good question. I haven't read the piece yet, I have to admit, and so I don't know what it does to you. Maybe it just, maybe it tastes like liver extract.
Can I write a piece for Crime Beat? I'd love to write.
We're holding pages open for you.
I wrote this thing already about a friend of mine from Long Island. It's going to appear in the next issue of LCD, actually. This guy I grew up with was, you may remember this story from many, many, many years ago. He was part of this drug dealing team that was going to go rob these guys at this gas station late at night.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed up with a shotgun, and he took the shotgun and went to hit somebody over the head with it to sort of make them drop their briefcase of money. And the shotgun went off and hit him in the chest, right? So it killed him. This is guy I went to high school with. And the two guys who were going to be the victims of the robbery fled and left this dying man there with his partner, who decided that in order to cover up the crime, he was going to have to cut the guy's head off.
Whoa.
And cut his hands off. So he looked around this gas station they were in.
Did he disguise the identity?
Yeah, he looked around in this gas station and found a knife, which was sort of your standard issue kitchen knife, I guess, and spent a couple of hours cutting this guy's head off and his hands off, right? And he took the head and the hands and he put him in one garbage bag, and he took the torso and put it in another, and he threw them both in the Great South Bay. And the next morning, the torso washes up, and the cops know instantly who this body is because... You finished the sentence, Ted.
Chris, I think you're making this up as you're going along.
I swear to God, this is a true story. I swear to God. I could call up the parents of this guy right now.
Mm-hmm.
His name was Tommy Palmisi. They knew the identity because his wallet was in his back pocket.
It's hilarious.
So here's a guy...
It's hilarious.
Here's a guy who spent several hours cutting off someone's head and hands. And he left...
Where is that story appearing?
Where is it appearing?
Yeah.
I could sell it to you.
Yeah,
I'll write it for you. No, it's...
Oh, yeah, I thought you wrote it already.
It's already written. It's going to be in the next issue of LCD.
I'm sorry, of what?
The lowest common denominator. It's WFMU's program guide.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, you know, I bet that there's not too much of an overlap between that readership and ours.
There's probably not, and that's one of the more lurid things that was directly connected to my life.
I hope you'll send this on to Crime Beat. In fact, I hope if anybody's listening and interested in writing an article, that they'll contact us as well.
Crime Beat, like Friends of Daniel Rockowitz's or something?
We get so many people who live in the East Village calling and wanting to tell us the real story about that.
And what is the real story, Ted?
I don't know, and I don't much care. I find it kind of a case of lowlifes killing lowlifes.
We got a quote
that
here.
Interests me.
We got a quote here from Daniel. Oh.
As we go behind the cops and tell them, hey, you know, I see y'all talking about, you know, your own personal stuff, but what about somebody crazy like me that would come behind you that just totally hates cops and would just like nothing more than just take off all your heads while you was looking the other direction?
Now, that was from that tape that, you know,
what a kidder, huh?
What a kidder, right? You know that, that muck-raking crime journalist, what's-his-face, whose name escapes me entirely on Channel 2, the guy with the beard, Mike Taibbi.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He did this report about a band called Missing Foundation, and one of the people he interviewed was Daniel Rakowitz, and this was before, you know, the whole Monica thing happened, right? With him cutting off what's-her-face, cutting off her head and stuffing her in things.
Was Rakowitz a musician?
No, but he was a guy that used to hang out in Tompkins Square Park all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So they found him, and they interviewed him for, like, a couple of hours. And after the whole Rakowitz thing broke... I called up the producer, Anna Phillips, Mike Taibbi's producer, and asked her, you know, where's all this tape? They had erased it all.
Oh.
They had essentially like the hottest crime tape of the year.
Oh, that's too bad.
And they were so interested in exposing what they thought was, you know, this satanic cult that they threw out all the Daniel Rakowitz stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Ted, does this happen often in the world of crime? Are people throwing out really great, you know, videotapes that they should be keeping
well, you know,
selling to hard copy?
I get from reading a long, very, very gripping piece on the search for the kidnapper of Ethan Pates in Vanity Fair about 7 months ago. The impression it left was that police were tossing out important evidence all the time, that they were too busy or too distracted or something. They lost important evidence, and as a result, the trail got very muddied.
Did they ever find out what happened to him? I mean,
well,
is that...
it seems that this guy, God,
he's probably the most famous missing child of all time.
Well,
I mean...
there's this guy with a Hispanic surname who is in prison in Pennsylvania right now, who has admitted to kidnapping the little boy. The guy has a history of child molestation. He claims that he sold Pates to some European child fanciers. There's no proof of that, and there's every reason to believe that this guy killed him himself.
Hmm.
And I think he's a good argument for some judicious use of prison torture, I believe.
Now, are there such things as European child fanciers who will buy children?
It would make a good novel, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I'm willing to believe
it. How do you
it.
Find a European child fancier?
You scratch a European, you'll find a child fancier.
Ted, your opinion of Europeans is even lower than mine. I'm really surprised.
Yeah, Euro trash.
Sounds like we could have a great conversation. Anyway, this has been the first installment of Ted Klein's Crime Line. How did you like it, Ted?
A lot of fun.
Okay, we got to do this more often.
Hope to be back.
I'm telling you, we got to spend the last 15 minutes of my program talking about crime.
And we can say thank God it's Friday.
Thank God it's Friday, too. Thanks, Ted. And listen, say hello to Bob Martin. He's a swell guy.
Will do.
All right. That was Ted Klein on the Crime Line. He doesn't know what just happened to him. He has no idea. Hello, welcome to the air.
Oh, yeah, I'd like to buy some tickets.
Which tickets?
For that English Blokes show on Thursday night.
English Blokes show?
Yeah.
Where at?
On your station.
Oh, they're gone.
They are?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Hello, welcome to the air.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, I was just wondering, what kind of music does your band play?
I'm at a loss for words. I don't know what to say.
Okay.
How's that? It's rock and roll.
Yeah. Yeah, by any chance, are you going to see Sonic Youth?
Where at?
At Roseland?
No, no.
No?
I don't think I am. You mean with the Boredoms, right?
Huh?
They're playing with the Boredoms.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I don't think I am.
All right.
Thanks.
Bye.
People ask me what my agenda is. Hello, welcome to the air. Hello. Ain't nobody there. Okay, well, that'll about wrap it up for another edition of Aerial View. Today is, October 9th, which is the birthday of a very famous, influential musician, somebody who had a great deal to do in my life, somebody who I have a great deal of respect for, namely the drummer Jim Moffat. And I want to say happy birthday, Jim, and spend it wisely. Do something really interesting with your birthday. We'll be back again next week at this time.
What's the matter with you people? I was joking! Don't you know a joke when you hear one? What's the matter with you people? I was joking! Don't you know a joke when you hear one?